the Gospel of Matthew and what God is doing in our part of the world. Sometimes we get very narrow focus because the world we live in has the media, has the culture, has everything that puts us down a narrow train of thought. And I want us to see the reality through the heart of God of how God is working today. And I want you to leave this morning celebrating and praising God that He is working. Just last night, we received an email. God has been working in northern Ethiopia, the northeast portion, where five different people groups come together. 100% Islamic, dominated by a radical form of Islam in that region of the country. And in the midst of this, this past February, God starts moving, and one leader comes to faith. That one leader eventually becomes 25 leaders. And by leader, they're leading around 20,000 people each in their political, religious mix. And so you're talking about thousands and hundreds of thousands of people open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those 25 leaders become 75, then 105 by June. Are you with me? Some of you are looking like, what are you talking about? 105 Muslim leaders convert to following Jesus Christ. And their question is, would you help us to train the new converts? We tried to limit it as much as the resource we had to 12,000 new Muslim converts to be trained and discipled. This past week, it was 20,000 in 50 different locations trained and discipled in Jesus Christ. I don't know about you. I think God is on the move. And we hear about all these other things going on, and we miss the story of what God is doing. I want you to be captured by God on the move. This God that we see in the New Testament is the same God that's working today. And we need to expect Him to be working. Not just crying out hoping He's working, but an expectation that we are walking in obedience, and the result is we see God working. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Verses 35 to 38. I'm going to focus on verse 36 to 38, but I want to start with this verse 35 to give some context. And Jesus has been carrying on this very strong ministry, casting out demons, setting people free, healing people, restoring people to life. In verse 35, Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease and every affliction. How many would like to follow Jesus' ministry? This is what Jesus was doing. And verse 36, this is what I want to focus on this morning. When He saw the crowds, He had compassion for them. As sheep without a shepherd, they were harassed and helpless. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest." I get a moment of pause when I read this. Of course, we're talking missions today, and so it's easy to think, of course, this is a missions passage. That's where we should be talking. But stop for a second and drive into what Jesus has been doing. He's been doing all of these miracles. People have known about Jesus because He's been doing all this stuff. And He still looks around and He said they were like sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion on them. Sometimes that's lost in our world. We have a highly politicized world. We have great divisions. And it's more important to be right than to carry the compassion of Christ. We live in a country, here in Canada, with millions of people that don't know Jesus. And thousands and hundreds of thousands of people that don't know Jesus are coming in. Are you with me? And the question is, how do I respond? I can respond by my aggressiveness. I can respond politically. Jesus says, He has compassion. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. People who are lost. There's no one to lead them. we, you and I, filled with the Spirit, know how to lead them. Okay, Len knows how to lead. They need someone to lead them to Jesus. Not just lead them in chaos. Lead them to Jesus Christ. That's the hope. The hope we have. North Africa has gone through this Arab Spring. You heard about this over the last years? Since 2011? Massive rise of hope, of excitement, of joy that was unfulfilled. And we look at it, we see chaos, we see terror, and we have all the labels that say, don't go. But into that community, they are sheep without a shepherd. They're lost. They have no hope. Who has the hope? We have the hope. Who has the joy? We have the joy. Who's got what they need? Okay, a few more are coming in. We have it. We possess, by the Spirit of God, everything we need for life and godliness. We have the potential to bring other people to Christ. Not just for me. Not just for our wonderful fellowship. But for people who don't know Jesus to know Jesus. When I see what God has done in this portion of northeast Ethiopia that I was just telling you about. I see 20,000 trained today. But I see millions coming to Christ in the next year. What God has been doing in Ethiopia is not unique. Sometimes we think, well, okay, that's Ethiopia. What about the rest of the world? What God has been doing in Ethiopia is spreading to places like Sudan, where a small community of faith has started to expand to almost 20,000 believers. And as they connect into Libya, there's small pockets of people coming to faith in Christ. I don't know about you, but when I hear about Libya, I never hear about that. You know what I mean? We don't hear about Yemen where people are coming to Christ. We hear about Yemen where there's war and terror and cholera. When you hear about these countries in Africa, you often hear about the chaos of the leadership. You don't hear of the move of God's Spirit. In the nation of Niger, 80% Islamic nation, there's the southern portion is tribal religion, animistic, and they have great fruit. The church came about a year and a half ago, came to meet with some of us, our team with Brian, and we sat together with their church leader, and he said, we have great fruit in the animistic areas, but 80% of the country is Islamic, and we can't win them. They don't respond to the presentation of the gospel. They heard what's happening in Ethiopia. Would you help us? The first week of August, some of our team were there training. And what started, and this is the amazing thing, when it always starts with one guy saying, like, come and help our church, the church in Niger, became the church in Benin and Burkina Faso and Cote d'Ivoire and Congo, Chad, Niger. God is on the move. I want us to be celebrating this God of compassion that brought us to know Him, has compassion for those who do not yet know Him. And we need to have the same heart of compassion that our Lord has. Don't get defensive. Be moved by compassion. Sometimes we think, well, I'm about justice. No, you're probably about self-righteousness or pride. Compassion. Somebody doesn't know Jesus. How could they have anything right? The foundation is wrong. They must know Christ. But it doesn't end there. He draws on to say, then he said to his disciples, Jesus moved by compassion, then he turns to his disciples and an instruction comes. The harvest is plentiful. Do you believe that? Yeah. See, we have this flood of people coming into Canada. We have Canadians that are rejecting the faith right now. Do we believe the harvest is plentiful? There's a doorway. There's an expectation that God has already been stirring. Not just in Ethiopia, but here. See, in Ethiopia, Brian and Val go in 92, and the nation has about 1 million believers. Just less. Today, to over 20 million evangelical believers. plus the movements of God into the Orthodox and the Islamic communities. Do we expect that God could move in our nation of Canada, of about 34 million people, 8 to 9% evangelical? Could we see 25% in 5 years? No, that's too great to hope for. Let's get back to reality. The God of compassion doesn't just have compassion for us four that are inside the walls today. He's got compassion for those that are outside, that don't know Jesus. They might know His name as a curse word. They might not even know it means this man, born of a virgin, sent here from His Father in heaven to bring us relationship with God. They don't know that. That's for us to tell, moved by compassion. And Jesus turns to His disciples. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. When we see Ethiopia, we see thousands of new church planters and teachers being raised up. And we often would say, you know, we're not short on laborers, we're short on money. But as we start to see God moving more and more, we start saying, wow, there is a bit of a shortage of laborers, you know. How do you disciple 1 million people? Come on now. How do you go and plant another 2,500 churches? In 2011, Brian and some of our team sat with one brother, sharing and hearing the heart for church planting. Central Ethiopia, this region of about 9 million people, dominated by Islam and a tribal religion. Into that community, the brother was crying out, "We have a sense from God that we need to send out 600 church planters. There's 3,000 farming associations. It's the smallest level of community." And he said, "We need to send out 600 church planters. One can plant in 5 locations. We can touch every region or every farming association." And as they began to proclaim, you start seeing the churches planted. Some using a physical bridge. We went out to one community. There's this bridge made of eucalyptus. It's about 30 feet down and 30 feet up the other side. Primarily in that community, the women carried all the goods from market, the wood, the grains, and they would have to climb down this valley and climb up the other side. You think, well, 30 feet, who gives a care? Carrying 80 pounds, 100 pounds, anybody care? I'd care. And what happened was he went in, trained, taught, not only in Bible and theology and church planting, but in cattle fattening, and for him, bridge building and sanitation. And as he went into that community, he recognized the immediate needs is a simple bridge, built of eucalyptus wood, which is incredibly hard. He built a simple bridge. The result in 6 months was 450 people came to Christ and a church was planted. The harvest is plentiful. But there are few laborers. There's few people working in the harvest. Not people haven't been called. Is that okay? It's not people haven't been called, there's just few people working. The harvest is plentiful. When I look across Africa, we see places that we've been for 80 years. We've been working in places like Kenya and Uganda and even Congo for years and years and years and years. But who's taken the gospel to Algeria? To Libya, to Tunisia, to Morocco, to Western Sahara, to Chad, to Niger, to Mali, to Benin, to Burkina Faso. These are places that are dominated by unreached people. In Africa, 1.1, 1.2 billion people, there's 341 million that have no access to Christ. There's no church, there's nobody telling them about Jesus. You capture that number. 341 million people have no access to Jesus. And yet, Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so we have God moved with compassion, but we have God also moving to call. He says, therefore, verse 38, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into His harvest field. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send people out. See, the Lord of compassion is also the Lord who calls. Are you with me? He's the one who calls. It's up to us to respond. Sometimes we have this idea that God controls us like little robots. I don't know about you. I've never been a robot. Don't take too kindly to being controlled. Are you like me? I know Leonard is, and Jordan is, and a few others that I won't point out. We don't like to be controlled by somebody, but somehow we have this idea, God by some osmosis is just going to move me along. Brothers and sisters, we have a call. God calls laborers into His fields. It doesn't just happen out of the blue. It happens, as we started the service this morning, by drawing into God. When we draw near, develop intimacy, we hear His voice. And He speaks. And as obedient sons and daughters, we say, yes. The Lord of the harvest calls. Not just to Africa. To wherever you are. Are you responding to the call? Is there a harvest field in your workplace? Is there a harvest field downtown? Is there a harvest field in your community? I expect there is. In fact, I know there is. The question is, are you working in the harvest field? And if you're not where God called you to be, get out of there and get to where He's called you to be. No amens. See, we have a God moved by compassion, and the result of that compassion is He calls us to respond. People don't know Jesus, and He's calling you. He's calling you. He's calling you. Share Jesus with them. Bring them Jesus Christ. The hope, the relationship, the intimacy that is found there. I heard this past week there's a celebration of suicide awareness. My family history is filled with suicide. My cousins are racked. My aunts and uncles, many have passed away due to suicide. So it becomes something that I'm aware of that before I never had a clue. But what changed that brought hope to those that are still living, and what wasn't there was the hope of Jesus Christ. There's this young lady in our church in Addis. She's come to faith this last February. She came last fall. We're part of the church where Penny, I don't know where Penny went. Penny's been part of our church for many years, like 14, 15, whatever years before she took off to Canada. Your gain. In our church, this young lady came, struggling. She'd been working through some of her medical issues with the medical professionals. The psychologist and the counselors that were working with her said, "We can only help you so much. Even all our medications can only help you so much. You need faith. You need a purpose for your life." This young lady came, talked to us in January. We started working with her. We started encouraging her, started challenging her, started pushing her. And she said, I'm not ready to commit. And I said, that's okay. Take your time. But I'm going to tell you, this is what I'm going to do. If you need purpose in your life, I'm going to keep directing you to Jesus Christ. It was a wonderful celebration with Val and Terry and another young lady in our church as we got to sit with her and lead her to faith in Christ. Since February, you've seen a lady just transformed. Brian was speaking a couple weeks later on spiritual gifts. We're driving out to their place to have a church barbecue, a picnic like you guys are having. And she's in our car with us, and she said, "Can you help me understand this spiritual gifts and this Holy Spirit?" We began to lay out. She's just a new believer, 2 or 3 weeks old. And we just laid out for her being baptized, being filled with the Spirit, and this life that God's Spirit is leading you. God's Spirit is filling you. And she said the next week, "Hey, you know what? You guys were talking last week. I want to get baptized." We had the privilege a few months ago to baptize her. And now her life has changed. You see her today from when you saw her last fall. And you see a person struggling with all the hopelessness after pursuing everything the world had to offer. And what she needed was Jesus Christ. We have a society of chaos. They need Christ. We have portions of our continent in Africa need Jesus Christ. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. I want to reflect for you again. What's God called you to do? Don't point at somebody else. It's easy to point at somebody else. Say, God, I know God's called that guy. I know that God's called that girl. Everything's okay. No, no. What's God called you to do? I don't think anybody's sitting here without a call. If you haven't heard it, you just might be deaf. Hello? Are you listening? Are you listening to a call? There's a God who speaks. We've sung about this God today. Is it just singing or is it actually something we believe? Believe that Jesus is the one that can change the world? Do we believe that? Or is it just a good song? He's the one that speaks and calls laborers into His harvest. One of the amazing things in Ethiopia is how God is working in Islamic communities. Sometimes it's within their culture and context. Other times it's evangelical church planters. And so one community, a church planter goes and he starts this little church. And he starts winning other people. And the result is, fast forward a couple of years, one Muslim leader in his community comes to faith. He's the leader of the mosque. He does all the prayer. He does all the teaching. He said, I can't keep praying in the mosque anymore. But I'll keep teaching in the school. And the community said, please, please, if you can't pray, teach in the school. In the school of 300 students, the top 12 students come to faith in Jesus Christ in the mosque school. And as they came, they challenged him and they said, if you know about Jesus, you've led us to Jesus, why are you still teaching in the mosque school? Why don't you go and join the church? And he said, if you want to go join the church, go join the church. But there's 288 other students that need to know about Jesus Christ. He realized this is going to cost him. These 12 students go and join the church, and the persecution rises against him. His wife and him were beaten. Their farm was taken away. His wife had her teeth all smashed out. I sat with him in February as he was telling us how he is convinced that Jesus Christ has called him for this purpose. And I said, where will you go now? What will you do? I will go back. Those students have not yet encountered Jesus. You see, if we have a call, we can endure anything. If you know God spoke, you can endure. We've heard the stories of the visions and the dreams. Almost everybody that has a vision and a dream that walks it out with God, walks it out in persecution. Because it's places that most of us won't be able to get. As a white Canadian, there's many places I can't go. You know what I mean? There's places that are restricted to me. But our Ethiopian brothers and sisters, they have access. And it's the places like Sudan and South Sudan and Djibouti and Somalia where I go in and automatically they think I'm a Western Christian. But an Ethiopian gets in, begins to proclaim Christ. The university students movement that's continually growing and rapidly expanding. Over 45,000 students are part of that movement. And they're graduates. There's two of their graduates there, part of the student movement called Ivasu. The graduates called us a couple years ago. They said, come and work with us. So Brian and some of our team and myself, we went in and sat with their leadership team. And we still sit with their guys as they strategize. But the question was, we are professionals. We're not preachers. We're not teachers in the church. We are professionals. And we have an access to nations like Egypt, like Sudan, like Algeria, where they want the infrastructure strength that Ethiopia has. Ethiopia has good accountants, good engineers, good medical professionals. That the rest of Africa is saying, okay, we've seen the development there. Come and help us. And these graduates are saying, how can we go, not just as professionals, but as people on the mission of God? Recognizing the call to be laborers in the harvest field. Don't think it's the guys up here that are called. What's God called you to? third thing that captures my mind is, send out laborers into His harvest. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's His. Sometimes we only like to get behind what we can control. If I can control it, I'm part of it. If I can't control it, I'm not part of it. What Brian and Val started 26 years ago, something like that, 25 years ago, 7 years ago, is nothing that we own. In fact, what we own, we usually lose. Hopefully not everything, but it's what we feed into as God has entrusted to us that grows. See, in the harvest field, we often try to mark off our territory. This is where my church begins. That's your church. Don't cross. This is His harvest. It's not ours. I'm positioned by POC to take responsibility in Africa. Not for POC. For the kingdom of God. How do we plant churches in Tanzania? How do we start seeing a church planting movement among the Yao people in Malawi? How do we raise up ministers in French West Africa? A nation of Guinea has a doorway because it's Islamic and it's French. How do we raise up people and release them for ministry to other parts of West Africa? See, we have all these doorways before us, as long as we don't have to own it. It's His harvest, not mine. And so when we see kingdom ministry, it's ministry in His harvest. The old translations used to say His harvest fields. We divided it all into fields. It's His harvest. It's all His harvest. Whether it's on the streets in Edmonton or the villages in Ethiopia. It's His harvest. And God's invited us, called us to be part of it. Not by chance, not by accident, but by His divine purpose. Hey, you have these gifts, you have these skills. I've put them in you when you were born. I've filled you with the Spirit and supplemented everything. Now, look what you can do. But sometimes like, yeah, you know, I got nothing. Are you with me? We shy back in nervousness. We're looking like Moses at our own weakness. Instead of looking at the Lord of the harvest. He's the one that called us because He had compassion. To be working in His harvest. This morning I want you to celebrate that Lord of the harvest is still working. Maybe you haven't seen it in your life this year or this decade or however long it's been. He's at work. Are you? Are you motivated by compassion? Are you moved by His call? Do you change your activities because God's called you? Sometimes we don't like to do that. God calls, I'm busy. You know, the silent button on your phone. Are you moved by His call? And are you ready to get out and work? Laboring in His harvest is not easy. It's going to cost you something. Doesn't mean your teeth are going to be broken off or your wife's teeth are going to be broken off. Doesn't mean you're going to lose your farm. But it might. Are you ready for that? See, we have an enemy of our soul. An enemy that wants to take those 341 million people in Africa and leave them in darkness. And we have a God moved of compassion who says, I want people to touch them. That's the harvest today. That's the opportunity. That's what's before us. And so as you go out, I want you to reflect on those three questions. Are you motivated by compassion? Are you motivated by compassion? Are you moved by God's call? Are you changing your activity or you just keep doing what you're doing and saying, okay, somewhere along the day, God's just going to do something for me. Or when God speaks, you move. And are you working in His harvest? today. Not in 20 years once you get your life set and everything's in order. Today. Are you working in His harvest? And then you go out with joy. Because you're being faithful. Faithful to the God who called us out of compassion. Remember, that's the beginning. That's not the end. That's how He begins. He's doing all these miracles and He looks with compassion. So this week when you go out, who is harassed and helpless that you encounter? That is like sheep without a shepherd. Who's that person that God's placed in front of you? Just right there. They're part of your life today. Where's the harvest field that God's called you to be in? And what's the work that you need to be doing? I want to challenge you. It's not just for people across the globe. It's not just for those that go, oh, okay, those guys. No, it's for all of us. Be about harvest work. Will you bow your heads with me this morning?